I'd like to begin by asking you a few questions about how this whole mess got started. Do you remember seeing him for the first time?
Yeah. You guys here on vacation?
Certainly are.
Welcome to the end of the world.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, Michelle, how's it going?
It's going good. How's it going with you?
Pretty good.
Good.
Sorry about the redo. I hate when this happens. It sucks the life out of this whole presentation.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, the second time you do it, you may not, you know, but, you know, I don't know. Maybe there's things we thought about that will make it better.
It's never as good as the first time, Michelle. So, Michelle, let's start in a new direction here. This is a West Coast Project podcast for The Affair, episode 305. Michelle, why do you think Allison still has this opening in her psyche for Noah? How can he possibly still appeal to her?
You know, that's a great question. I don't think that there is. I'm assuming you're wanting a logical answer, and I don't think the heart is logical all the time. So my thing is, I believe that you can have that with somebody, even people that you know are horrible for you. But the heart wants what it wants.
Why,
so,
though? Well, how?
Well, I mean, that's like the great question of all time, right? Because if you could turn that off, you know, if you knew what caused it, then you could maybe learn to, you know, turn it off. I don't have any idea. I personally think, from having, you know, like listened to a lot of like therapy stuff and stuff like that, that particularly in situations like that, that your neurosis, your problems want to survive. They want to be. And so that's what draws you to other people. I don't think it's similar things like comes out in this episode, like they both lost somebody or watched somebody that they love die. I don't think it's that so much as it's, you know, certain personality types are attracted to other personality types that feed their personality types. If you're a lot of women have like daddy issues and stuff like that, or abandonment issues because maybe they were raised without a father, without a mother or something. And they are inevitably drawn to a specific type of person that is then drawn to them because they feed their, you know, issues, whatever that may
be. So like a couple of bad magnets.
Honest to goodness, that's exactly what it is. And it's just, it's a tragic kind of attraction. And it's very difficult to make it work. I don't think it's impossible. I think everybody has to acknowledge what their issues are. They first have to see it, then they have to accept it, and then they can work on changing it individually. And then if they're able to come together after that, I mean, come on, Mike. How many times have you been attracted to the same kind of person or the same kind of relationship that ends up not good? You know, I mean, we all do that kind of stuff. And it's not even just in our loves. It's in our friendships and all that kind of stuff. People have told me my whole life that I attract like these sad sack people, you know, like people that are in crisis or whatever. They are attracted to me. And
you do?
Yeah, I do. And so because of that, I have to accept that and figure out why. And so I've done like a lot of self-help stuff, trying to figure out why I attract this type of kind of tragedy in people.
Well, you're a saver.
Well, see, that's just it. But that's not a good thing.
No,
you know,
it's
I mean,
not.
No, but that feeds something in me that I'm still working on about what it actually feeds. But I have learned, you told me a long time ago, that I don't say no enough and stuff like that. And I mean, and it's true. And And I didn't want to hear it at the time, and I wasn't, you know, receptive to it at the time, but it's absolutely true. And it's I'm fed by things that are not, and completely unknowingly, I don't stop and think, oh, I want this drama in my life. Not at all. But it does feed something in me. And it's stuff that I'm still working out. So anyway, to answer the question, and I'll be quite so personal about like all of my, you know, heart issues here, you know, with all of our close friends. But I really do think people are drawn to not necessarily the good things, but what feeds. It's kind of like, you know, if you crave sugar and stuff like that, because it feeds like, you know, the bad stuff in your body.
All right, well, this episode was sequential, Michelle, not different perspectives of the same timeline, somewhat of it overlap, but it was mostly sequential where the other partner filled in what the first partner didn't talk about.
Yeah, what'd you think about that?
Oh, it was okay. It was a little hard to adjust to at first because you expect it the other way because that's how they have always done it, but I don't mind seeing them take another stab at a little bit different tweak to it.
Yeah, it's definitely not my favorite. I really like when they show us the same thing, particularly when they're talking about Allison and Noah, because they're so hard to believe the way they, you know, their stories.
Do you think Allison and Noah will get divorced?
Yeah, I think maybe in the next episode we'll see them divorced, or very, very shortly thereafter. Him signing the papers to me was the divorce.
Didn't happen for Skylar and Walt. He signed the papers and she didn't pull the trigger.
That's true. True.
All right, Michelle. So part one is Allison, where Noah's the clown in this version. And yeah. It takes off right where we left the last episode with the bike and the car meeting at Noah driving up in the little mini red Cooper, which you were right about. It's not a Fiat. It's a mini Cooper, Frenchie LaRue's car. And Allison's suspicious. Get away from me. What are you doing here? And we see her change from this pretty quickly, this defensive perspective, like, get the hell away from me. You're nothing but trouble, into spending time and more with Noah. But he tells her, I was stabbed 4 days ago, and she doesn't want any part of him, but gives him her address. Instead of just saying, look, let's go behind this bush and talk, she gives him her home address.
Go behind the bush? Well,
whatever. Let's go to the train station bus stop or whatever. Let's go somewhere out of sight.
But he was kind of threatening her that he was going to ask in town, you know? I mean, he was going to find out.
Well, I don't know if I believe that. He did say that, like, whoa, that's close, because I was just about to go in and start asking everybody where Allison, what's her last name is?
Bailey.
But he might have just been kind of joking.
Right. But she, yeah, I mean, look, she obviously wanted the conversation with him. She didn't want it, and she feared it. But she wanted the, interaction with him, don't you think?
The sugar, yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, they talk about Joni. Allison says, you look awful. And I think that's something that people say to each other when they're being still affectionate with one another. Wow, I haven't seen you in a while. You look awful, man. Like, you're concerned about them. It isn't just a neutral observer's opinion. It's an affectionate way of, like, it's a caring thing to say almost.
And that is so interesting to me, because I've never thought about it like that before, but I completely agree with you. It is. It's intimate to be able to tell somebody that, as long as you say it, you know, because you do care. And so, you're saying you care by saying that.
So, Michelle, I think he looks awful to her just because he's tired and stressed. I don't think she's saying that because of this bandage on his neck. He does just look stressed.
And I mean, did he look awful?
I think so.
I thought he looked happy. I mean, he certainly looked a whole lot better than he looked in the hospital a few days ago.
Nah,
and
he still looks, he has that frumpy look. His shirt's wrinkled. He looks a little tired. His eyes are a little baggy. He looks a little less than game ready.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I was thinking about that too. How far is it from where he is to, you know, Montauk? It's a little ways. So,
yeah,
I mean, he's
3-4 hours, New Jersey. Yeah. He's got to drive all the way out to Long Island.
Right.
Long Island. All right. So who did stab this guy, Michelle? What do you think?
I don't know. I don't know. I'm still leaning toward a female. And I mean, look at all the females he makes mad. I just hope Juliet's not in the trunk of that car or something, as crazy as he was. Well, I don't know. How do you know? Maybe that's the thump he heard. How do you know? I don't know. He's not okay, right?
Nah, he's not a murderer. I think he stabbed himself with that little knife.
Yeah, I just think that particularly if they're getting the police involved in a situation like that, that they would certainly be able to ascertain the angle that that knife went in, right?
I don't know. Those two cops look like a couple of knuckleheads.
Yeah, but the doctors aren't, right? Presumably.
Yeah, but the doctors aren't forensic. They're just doing what they do to stop. And he's got a little bandage on. It's not like he's like had major surgery.
No, and that's something else too. That's not where he was cut. Do you remember that?
Yeah, it wasn't more right on the there. Side than he got right. Cut in the back, wasn't it?
Right. Yeah. Yeah, he was cut like in the back. I mean, he reached around to the back and he pulled his hand around. It was like it was cut like on the back part of his neck, not way up there on the side.
Maybe they had that, to go in through believe. The. Maybe they had to go in through the side to sew up the aorta. I don't know. Well, I'm just.
It was. Yeah, it wasn't the aorta, but I mean, I do suppose it's possible that they could have had to have done something like that.
All right, so I think he did it himself, though. Anyway, we'll see. I guess hopefully we'll find out soon. And Allison says, I'm glad you're here, which doesn't really jive with what she was just saying 10 seconds ago to him. But maybe she's just glad he's there to be able to have the conversation with him.
Right, right. And to get him to sign those divorce papers.
She tells him, if I have anything to do with you, Buster, it will ruin my case.
And let me just throw this out there, too. This is, Noah was stabbed 4 days ago, right? I mean, he was just stabbed. I point that out more than one time. And how is it that she has, and she was talking to that guy in the very last episode, that to Joni's advocate, remember? How did she get divorce papers drawn up that fast?
I don't know. I don't know how long it takes. Well, how long would it take for a lawyer?
I don't think you just print them off, right? It's not like you find Divorces Are Us online and print them off or anything. I mean, you have to go see an attorney and you have to tell them what you want. I've just never heard of it being drawn up that quickly.
LegalZoom.
Oh, okay. Maybe.
LegalZoom
anyway,
LegalZoom is officially a sponsor of the West Coast Project podcast. No, I don't know. I'm sure. I bet LegalZoom does have divorce. I bet there is a quickie version.
I just wonder if, like, she had that already drawn up. I don't know how it would matter, but...
Yeah, there's nothing to contest, right? Stay away from me.
Right, right. I don't want anything. Let's just dissolve this, essentially.
But by the time she says, if I have anything to do with you, it will ruin my case, he's already asleep on the couch. So he is tired. He is worn out.
Well, yeah. I mean, how much blood did the guy lose?
And then he's next time we see him, he's in the kid's bed. So he somehow got moved from the couch to the kid's bed, and he's taking Vicodin.
Yep. And lying to the nurse about it, calling it a muscle relaxer.
Well, and he doesn't tell her really what the Vicodin is for, because it's not for that stab wound.
No. No, no.
He was taking them before he got stabbed. All right. So Allison says, you have to leave in the morning. I'm sorry. And he keeps appealing to her. Just, isn't it a little nice to see me?
Yeah, he's trying to be charming, you know, and it just, I don't know. I mean, it's really like this over the top kind of falling flat. If you've ever seen Groundhog Day and how, you know, he keeps doing stuff and he ends up getting almost like manic about it because he's repeating himself or whatever, that's kind of like the feeling I got with Noah in this and his interaction with Allison. It felt very kind of manic in the way he was, which, you know, who knows, maybe with everything he was seeing and not seeing.
Well, and depending on her filter, how manic do things come to her through her crazy filter?
Well, that's a good point, too.
They're both freaking insane. They're both visualizing things that aren't really there and having psychotic events that are not good.
Right.
All right, so he gets up the next morning, makes himself at home, starts whipping up some breakfast, Michelle, and invites her to Block Island.
Yeah, well, yeah, he twists her arm to Block Island.
She tries to say no. She says, no way, now just sign this divorce agreement. And he says, well, I'm not quite ready, but if you let me go, if you go to Block Island with me, I'll sign it when we come back.
Yeah.
In so many words.
Yeah, it's just this big manipulation. You know, do what I want, and then I'll do what you want.
So Cole comes over, and Noah has to be shuffled out the back door to hide. And stands now, there in the total view of the 1 foot that the blades of the of the shades don't cover the door, looking in like, ooh,
yeah,
like a doofus. And Allison has to further shush him away and then shut the shades the whole way. I thought when those shades were rocking back and forth that Cole was going to see them and say, aha, caught you.
Why even bother going out the door if you're going to stand there in that little tiny space?
Yeah, no, stupid.
I mean, yeah.
Michelle, have you ever had to do that in your real life?
Run out the back way when somebody came in?
Either run out yourself or rush a guy out the back.
Of course not.
Well, no. I have.
Have you?
Yeah, not a bedroom, but I was at a restaurant with a girlfriend and her ex and her son came in the front door. She like saw them pulling in the parking lot. She's like, oh my God, I can't let him see me here. I mean, we weren't doing anything wrong. They were divorced. And her right. and her ex didn't like me. It was kind of comical. But she's like,
were you
come
okay
on,
with that?
No, she's like, come on, let's go out the back door. And I'm like, fuck that. I'm not going to run out the back door out of fear of anyone seeing me anywhere. So I stayed. I stayed and she left. And so the son and the ex-husband came in because he was the father.
Right.
He is the father. And I sat there. I'm like, okay, well, now what am I going to do? My girlfriend's out in the parking lot in the back and I'm sitting there in the restaurant by myself. So I walk out the front. And the son sees me, and he knows me. You know, he's a little kid. He's probably, I don't know, 5 or 6.
Right.
And he kind of looks at me like, oh, it's Mike. So I just said hi, and I just kept walking. Because the husband hated me, the ex-husband.
So what happened?
Nothing. I picked up my girlfriend in the back, and we left.
Oh, my gosh.
I think
yeah.
we were pretty much done with our meal, so didn't.
Well, good.
Not like we had to yeah. go to another restaurant. Well, you can't both run out, and you run out in your bill. What do you mean? What are you going to do? You can't both just run out the back door.
Well, of course, but
I
know.
Had that feeling that Noah had. He said, "Fuck that! We're married," and I had that same feeling. Like, fuck that! I'm not running out because somebody's kind of might see me somewhere.
Yeah, and I completely understand that. At the same time, Noah knows what Allison's going through with trying to get custody, and he knows that he just got out of prison. And I completely understand you're relating to it, but it's not the same thing, you
no,
know,
I
as
know.
Far as that kind of stuff goes. You aren't jeopardizing her custody of her son over you being there. It was just an uncomfortable situation, and I completely understand that. But Noah is jeopardizing her custody. By doing
so,
this.
Cole wants to talk about the sexy time he's had with Allison and make sure that she understands it was a one-time thing. It's not fair to Louisa. He's just like trying to cover up some of his own guilt, I think, by this visit. And I think Allison's version of things seemed really childlike here, Michelle. Everything Cole says to her, she views as like she's fringe crazy. She's all about to be derailed and go insane. And she's just almost like a little girl who's lost in the world. So Cole offers her joint custody and not share. And Allison wants shared custody. And Michelle, have you ever figured out the difference between joint and shared custody?
Never heard the difference in it.
All right. So I got this definition online. I checked it out. Shared custody is often used as a synonym for joint custody, but shared custody versus joint custody are two totally different things. So shared custody is the type of custody each parent receives when each parent receives roughly equal amounts of time spent with a child and the parents work together to raise the child. joint custody is a legal type of custody, and it's where the agreement focuses more on the tasks and responsibilities of each parent as a separate person instead of both parents working together as a couple.
So shared would be like where you work with the other, actively work with the other parent to parent the child. And joint would be where you each parent them individually, but for the same amount of time.
Correct? Yeah. And I would say shared is probably like the groovy hippie. Oh, we're divorced, but we still love each other. We're going to let Junior grow up in a nice, happy, mom's at one address, dad's at another. And joint's the legal, you know, where the friend drops the kid off because the parents can't stand to see each other, and they legally have tasks and responsibilities that are sketched out that they have to fulfill.
Right.
So joint's not friendly. Shared is friendly. And
okay.
Cole offers joint, and Allison wants shared. For some reason, Cole doesn't seem to want shared, probably because of Louisa, his situation with Louisa.
Right.
So it goes further.
But that's interesting. So you think that was done deliberately then, the joint and the shared?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, cool. That's cool.
It says further in this definition, parents who are not married to one another and live apart often have joint custody. Full joint custody involves the parents sharing the decision-making responsibilities for the child, which is joint legal custody, and the physical control of the child, which is joint physical custody.
Okay.
So it goes on and on. But I think it's Cole wants it officially legal, and that's okay with him, but not friendly like Allison wants it.
Right. Okay.
And I see Louisa have her fingerprints all over that.
That's interesting. Well, yeah, I mean, I guess so, but that's real interesting.
So Cole leaves and Noah comes back and pressures her into going to Block Island. And I think she should just say, F you, pal, I'm not going to sleep with anybody and go to on a vacation. But she just says, okay, I'll do it, but I'm not going to sleep with you. And she giggles about his using the word gross. And if you touch me, I'll yell rape, okay? She's like a little kid.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, she's very, I don't know. I mean, it's not even juvenile. It's like beyond that, you know? I agree.
And it's liltingly, teasingly flirty in its own way.
Yeah, it is. It is. And it's leading him on in a way.
Yeah. Cause it's not like, God, I fucking hate you. I'll do this because I see no other way out of it, but she's like giggly and, you know, she's flirty about it.
I don't think she does hate him. I think she's trying to blame it on Cole that she can't be with him. I think if Cole were okay with her, you know, being with him, then maybe, you know.
Well, that's why I asked you if you think they're really going to get divorced.
I mean, I still do. I mean, whether they end the relationship, I don't know. But I think the divorce will go through.
All right, Michelle, this is where we had a huge argument in our podcast that did not make it past the sound levels. They get on the boat, and she tells him that she didn't answer his letters because she didn't get them. And he calls where she was the loony bin, and she calls it rehabilitation. So he's kind of insensitive about what she was doing. I think what she did was honorable.
I do too.
And he's kind of making it like, oh, you're in the loony bin. That's why you didn't. It's like, kind of, come on, dude. Be a little sensitive.
Right. But he was also, you know, being over the top about everything. If he were just being it about that, that'd be one thing. But he was being that way about everything, right?
He starts screaming, Block Island, baby, and singing Camelot. And he makes her ride in the front of the boat, like Titanic style, with her arms out.
Right. But she's allowing it and like snuggling into him while he's doing that. And then she's like, get the, you know, F off me.
Michelle, would you ever eat chicken wings from a bar named the Rusty Barnacle?
Probably not.
Would you ever eat anything from a place called the Rusty Barnacle?
Does beer count?
Barnacle, like even seafood. You don't like seafood, but I don't know. It's just not a very good name for a place. Mm-hmm. Rusty, for one thing, Rusty's bad. And then barnacles are things that cling to the bottom of ships and rocks underwater. They're like not attractive sounding food adjective.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think it's more like the bar, you know? And I mean, what are you going to name it up there on the water?
Now, if you went into that bar and met a guy named Rusty Barnacle, now that is a good name for a crusty old guy on Block Island.
That's a pretty good name.
Rusty Barnacle, the rum runner from...
the rum runner.
From Jamaica.
Okay, that's... I could go with that.
Like, Matthew McConaughey could be Rusty. He was Rust Cole. He could be Rusty Barnacle.
Ooh,
anyway, they get
good.
Chicken wing. By the way, did you hear Matthew McConaughey is considering a True Detective 3?
I did not. I was going to ask you if you'd heard anything. I haven't heard anything about True Detective 3 or Fargo. Neither one.
I think I've heard some about Fargo too. That they announced some of the actors. I'm not ready to. I don't remember who they are. But for McConaughey, he just said, "Hey, I wouldn't rule it out." It wasn't like, "Hey, I'm planning to do it and I'm signed to start reading my scripts." You know, he's like, "Hey, I wouldn't rule it out." So it's not anything definite.
Well, that'd be cool.
Yeah, like a prelude of Rust Cole, like how he got to where he was. Because that, I mean, that would be a really cool version.
You know, I would love to hear his backstory, like see his backstory.
Anyway, she's viewing herself as this. Who was the actress in Titanic?
The actress? Oh, if you hadn't asked me, I could have told you. I can't remember.
Anyway, she views herself this way because this is her version. So probably, well, I don't know, probably was that way. She probably was acting that way. Block Island's totally empty, though, Michelle. They get the chicken wings and go, I guess we're retreading ground I just talked about. But they get to a beach with the chicken wings.
Right.
And they notice that as they're getting the food, Allison noticed the old store they used to shop in is now out of business.
Yeah, and I mean, that was a really good catch on your part, because I couldn't remember why that affected her. And it's Kate Winslet, by the way, the actress. But
Winslet runs that store?
No, probably not. But the actress. I couldn't remember why that affected her like that, looking at that. And I kept thinking, what is it about this? Is she thinking about maybe opening something there? Because, you know, like another lobster roll. I was going through my mind trying to come up with something. But then you're absolutely right. That was that little shop that they tinkered around in before, you know, everything
blew up.
Yeah, didn't
she buy a dress, or he bought her a dress or something?
Yes.
Something happened in there that's fond to Allison.
Right.
Noah asks her about her plan and calls Cole a dick for taking the child away. And Allison tries to explain to him that he didn't take her, but I don't think she tells him the whole story. This is another point we differ on, Michelle. I don't think she allows Noah to know the whole story. And she says, don't call him that. He's not a dick. He didn't take her. She defends Cole.
She does defend Cole. I just think that Noah knows more. He knows stuff, you know? And I have to think, but see, this is that whole thing. Supposedly, she's not talked to him in a year, right? That's what she told the detectives, or somebody. She told somebody it's been a year. And she hasn't been back that long. And, but they show her talking to him in the jail and telling him about going away for 6 months. So I'm just really confused about that whole timeline, honestly. The more I've thought about it, the more confused I am.
Even since last night?
Yeah, seriously. Seriously.
Well, so my point is, she sees Noah in jail. 6 months go by after that, seeing him in jail. And then she goes into her hibernation for 6 months, and that's a year. And now he shows up on Block Island, or wherever, Montauk. Or she sees him in jail, and the next day she goes into her hibernation for 6 months, and then Noah comes back to Montauk 6 months after he's out of jail. What? I don't see the difference. I don't see why it's important.
Because it lets us know if she is lying about the last time she spoke to him. I didn't think
to
she
the
had...
So it matters to you because of the police getting the wrong story?
Well, that and the fact that she's lying to Cole. We've already found out he's lying. He's lying, telling her he's taking muscle relaxers when the prescription bottle's right there and it's Vicodin.
He doesn't really hide that, though.
But he lies.
That's like taking that's like taking a shot of bourbon and somebody sees you in the bar and they go, what are you drinking? And you just say, oh, that's my medicine. It's kind of like a casual cover up. He didn't hide the bottle behind his back or jam it in his pocket. Because away she sees it's Vicodin.
Right. But it just, I don't know, it goes to show that he's not completely honest, maybe even with himself. Maybe he's just telling himself, I'm just taking a muscle relaxer. I don't know.
I think, argue that Vicodin is a muscle relaxant.
Well, you can argue that, but that's not what the drug is. And, you know, nobody told him that,
don't humor me. You could argue that smoking pot is a muscle relaxant. It's a depressant that hides pain or masks pain.
It's an opioid. It's a narcotic.
Okay. And what's the difference, though? It removes pain, right? Blocks pain.
Yeah, muscle relaxants don't block pain. They relax muscle. I mean, and therefore you can get pain relief. But I don't know. I don't know. I'm not going to argue like the semantics and everything because I agree with you in theory, but it just gives me a weird feeling that it's just like he's just so manipulative.
Yeah, you know? But she catches him right away and she's not even angry. Like, you lie. This is Vicodin. And slaps him. It's like, oh, it's Vicodin. That's your muscle relaxant?
Dawn on me, though, like you said, though. Maybe it is because maybe she thinks he's taking it for his neck. Is that what you said? And not for whatever?
Maybe she has no idea why he's taking it. She has no idea to think his shoulder. I don't know how much she noticed his shoulder being hurt.
I thought she asked him. I thought she did. She not say, is your shoulder bothering you that badly?
I don't see how any of this matters, Michelle. If she notices his back pain and his neck pain totally 100%, or notices it like 3%, I don't even know why it matters. The only thing I think that is important is that they're keeping things. And I think not knowing all about Joni is more important. Like, Cole, don't pick on Cole. He didn't take Joni away from me, and don't call him a dick. But she doesn't tell him why. And I don't know that he knows why. I don't think he knows that she gave up Joni voluntarily, the whole story of it.
Well, then why would he assume that Noah did, or that Cole did take her away?
For any reason that parents fight over, maybe he and Louisa want a kid that...
No, I'm saying, how would Noah know anything if she hadn't told him?
Because she's telling him left and right, I can't see you, I'm in a custody battle for Joni.
Yeah, but okay. Wouldn't you... ask for more information than that rather than just
he knows that he's not the father because Allison did tell him that.
Absolutely.
So it's clear that there's a value, there's a right of Cole to have Joni, and there's a right of Allison to have Joni. So there's a clearly defined math equation for Joni. They're both the parents, Noah or Cole and Allison. So I don't think I don't think Noah that cares that much about Joni. He cares about Allison. But I don't think he knows the whole scenario about her losing it and going into total rehab and giving up Joni because of that to Cole. I think he thinks Cole is fighting to get Joni away from her.
Okay, but my whole point is this. If you had a friend who told you, I had to go to an institution and be institutionalized for 6 months, and you just loved your friend, we're not talking about loving like a wife or a husband. We're talking about a friend, and they told you that. Wouldn't you go, oh my gosh, what happened to you? You know, of course you would. Anybody would ask what happened. And if he's not even asking her, if he doesn't even have the story of what happened to her and this total mental breakdown she had, then he doesn't care anything about her.
Well, I think that's probably true too. He wants to win her back is what he's selfish. He wants to win her back.
I agree with that.
And he doesn't care that much about Joni, and he doesn't care that much about why Allison went into rehab enough to like care for her and help her resolve whatever that was. He wants to just be with her and win her back over.
So in a real selfish way, you're saying?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, yeah. I can go along with that.
They walk around again some more. Noah's singing more Camelot. And Allison asks him, are you seeing Helen? And he says, sometimes. So he's evasive with her, too. Sometimes. And she says, why didn't you just let me go to the police? He was attacking me. It would have been self-defense. And this makes me think about that situation, that she doesn't know Helen was driving the car at the time of the accident.
Yeah, and you and I disagree on that, too. I'm reasonably sure that she does know. I was trying to remember, and I actually tried to go back last night or this morning. I can't remember. Anyway, and watch the end of the season 2, episode 12, right before Noah walks into the courtroom and he's sentenced or whatever, or he pleads guilty, I'm pretty sure that he was saying he can't tell the truth because it'll put Helen away. And I would really have to go back and watch it to make sure. But that's what I remember, that they would go after Helen. And she said, well, if you don't tell them, they're going to go after me, because the detective was going to get up on the stand and tell about that rock that had her name on it from Cole and Louise's wedding that he found at the crime scene. And I'm pretty sure that's why she was so ticked off at him to begin with, because he, in her opinion, chose Helen over her. But I could be wrong on that.
I don't know the exact details of what happened and who saw what. But Allison worried that she's going to be found guilty because she pushed a guy raping her into the road is stupid. They would never know that she pushed him willfully into the road. They don't even need to know he was trying to rape her. It's too hard to connect all those dots and say, aha, Allison, you're guilty.
Right, but she was there, and she wanted to go to the police. And, you know, how would you resolve that?
I don't know. I think it's dumb that she's worried that she might get in trouble. But until somebody goes back and finds all those details, or we see them and resolved in the future...
Right.
I am going to believe that I don't think she knows Helen was driving and doesn't know his total motivation for why didn't you just let me go to the police? Because she even says it. Why didn't you let me go to the police? He was attacking me. It would have been self-defense. She's worried about herself getting in trouble.
Right. Which is what she was worried about all the time. She doesn't say,
why didn't you just tell the truth and let Helen take the fall for this? She says the other thing she says.
Right. But you've got everything I just said, plus the fact that he came out of the passenger side and Helen was in there screaming. I mean, she would have had to have been...
Yeah, I don't know how much of that Allison saw, though. She was in the woods and she was the foggy and it was, you know, somewhat dumb.
I know. And it was dark and there's no lights. And right, I get the whole thing, but it's just, you know, I mean, I don't know. I don't know. You could be right.
All right, Michelle, that aside, the jump in the hot tub, some schlub's house out there on Montauk, stupid, selfish, or block, not Montauk, Block Island, selfish and juvenile. I thought the golden rule is not applied here, where you do unto others as you would want done unto yourself and yourself's hot tub. They jump into some other guy's hot tub, and I think that's bullshit, because how would Noah like that if that was his house and some teenagers were screwing around in his hot tub?
You know, that's a really good point that you just brought up, too. And it kind of contrasts Cole in this situation with Noah. Because in Cole's version, I mean, in
Allison's.
Yes. She is saying that Noah doesn't care, you know, about doing to others. But Cole comes in and says, I don't want Allison to feel, or I don't want Louisa to feel what I felt when you did this to me. I'm not leaving her, you know? And so that's a pretty good contrast, I think, between Noah, who doesn't care what anybody else feels and, you know, expects people to, you know, to be able to do whatever he wants, and Cole. And maybe that's why, as a general rule, we like Cole more. I mean, you know, it's a general consensus, not everybody, but...
Yeah, there's online polls, social media polls of, like, who do you like of the four characters? Cole, Allison, Noah, Helen.
Mm-hmm.
And Cole is always, like, 60%, 70%, and the other three are all, like, 12%, 13, 15. Like, they're all way behind Cole.
I can't believe people don't like Helen. I really like Helen, but yeah, I mean, I haven't seen that poll, but I completely believe that everybody loves Cole, but I like Helen too. I
think Helen has kind of a Skylar problem, Skylar factor. She's kind of the wet blanket. Like, come on, Helen, they're just having an affair. Let them have a little fun. Even though that's stupid, they think she's, she's like the responsible one, throwing the wet blanket on the fun.
Okay.
And plus, she's kind of a wet noodle. She puts up with too much shit from Noah.
Oh, I can't stand that. And I can't stand anything they've made her look like so far this whole season. And I'm hoping next episode we get to see the old Helen. Because I don't like her this season at all.
So all Noah's worried about is getting caught, getting away with it in this hot tub. Like, they're rich. They won't even care. He cracks open a bottle of their wine and grabs some glasses and starts to take off his clothes. And Allison says, okay, baby, good enough. I'm in with you. She takes off her clothes and makes him cover his eyes while she takes off her underwear and jumps in the hot tub.
Yeah, and that is just so stupid. I mean, it's so stupid, her wanting custody and him on parole and you're trespassing and stealing and whatever else they could, charge you with in that situation.
Public indecency.
There you go. Yeah. I mean, really, it's just so, it's such a, she doesn't want to be seen with Noah, but she's going to do something this crazy. I don't know. That's crazy.
Yeah, 2 hours ago, she can't be seen standing on the side of the road with him, and now she's, like, doing the nasty in a hot tub with him.
I know. In somebody else's hot tub.
So Noah says, what if I move to Montauk to be with you? And Allison says, oh, that's great, but I still want a divorce. She's, like, wants no part of it. And Noah says, I just want to teach and live with someone I love. I've wasted time on the wrong things. You were the best thing to ever happen to me. And Allison says, the whole nut of the whole story here, Michelle, I think, you and I were a mistake, Buster. You were trapped and wanted a fling, and I needed someone to take me away from grief. And we just ended up using each other.
Yeah.
And that's it. That is the summary of what they actually were in that relationship.
Right. I completely agree. I do think, though, that he is right about that feelings got involved. But yeah, I mean, she's not the best thing that ever happened to him. That's insane. And he didn't treat her like that when he had her anyway, which goes to tell you more about whatever, his drive comes from. Because
his drive comes
like,
from Frenchie LaRue, the red car.
Well, yeah. If he had wanted her, I do believe that there are certain circumstances where people just meet somebody and you just know, and that's just it. And so you abandon everything that you've got in your life and you get with that person and you live happily ever after. I do believe that that can happen. I don't think that is the norm by any stretch of the imagination. I think that is the one in a million shot. But I do believe it can happen. But that's not what happened with them. He didn't get with her and realize she's the love of his life and treat her that way and have this kind of relationship with her. We saw her home and pregnant and him out at parties and, threatening to at least sleep with everybody, whether he did or not, and just
including
acting,
his daughter, mistakenly.
He was just acting like a douche.
Yeah, he's just a horned toad.
And I mean, so he didn't get with her and realize you're the love of my life, and then treat her that way, and then go on and live happily ever after. But he's rewriting history.
Well, that's what people in love do, Michelle.
Oh, okay.
They make it fit their parameters of what they want it to be. Their memories start to sync up with what they wanted it to be. And, he's a writer, so he's making it profound. And you're the best thing that ever happened to me.
Yeah. But we all know it's crap, though.
All right, so the homeowner of the house comes back and makes the most stupid request I've ever heard. Get back over here. As they run away. Because, Michelle, do you really want two naked strangers illegally in your hot tub to come back and stand in front of you dripping on your porch?
No. I mean, I like McNulty and everything, but I saw as much of his ass as I want to see. That's good enough.
It reminded me of a time when I was a little kid and I was doing something kind of delinquent. We used to go around and knock over snowmen that other little kids have. I was probably older than a little kid, probably like a punky kid, but we knock over snowman and run away. And like
Mike, you were like 35 or something?
No, it's like, no, it's probably 15, 14, 15. Anyway, we're running terrible. Away and the guy comes out of his house. What's your names and where do you live? Like we're going to shout back to him our addresses and our names.
Yeah, that's funny.
Anyway, they run away, and Allison loses her Cinderella slippers, her shoes. Another childish, I think, memory from her version of this.
Right, and fairy tale-y. Yeah, I agree.
They miss the boat and have to get to a B&B, bed and breakfast. And Noah asks, do you have any clothes we could borrow? Again, like, come on, dude. They got enough money to stay. That B&B has to be on Block Island, $200 a night. You could buy a couple frickin' sweatshirts.
Right. Right. But I mean, you know, they were cold, but yeah, that's crazy. You don't ask somebody to borrow their clothes.
You're going to borrow a new Block Island shirt and give it back when you're done? Like, thanks, I really appreciate the loan.
Yeah, or just like borrow somebody's, you know, I don't know, what, their nightgown or what? I mean, you don't do that.
Right. Unless it's just a colloquialism like, hey, we need some clothes, we're all wet. Why were their clothes wet, by the way?
Well, because they got out of that hot tub and put them back on. Yeah, and their body was wet.
By the time you run away a little bit, you're not gonna soak your clothes.
Right. And right.
I don't know. Stupid request though. Do you have any clothes we could borrow? They aren't even guaranteed they're gonna get a damn room yet, and he's asking if they could borrow clothes.
Right. I don't know.
They do get in there though, Michelle. They got a couple nice matching Block Island sweatshirts and sit by this cozy fire. And Noah professes, I did love you, even if it was a mistake at first, so don't take it away from me by saying it wasn't real. It's a little profound, I think. It was to think of it that way was interesting. It was an interesting piece of writing.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, but what does he mean, don't take it away from me? She can't take it away from him. She can't take his memories or the truth of how he felt. He does not need her validation. Of his feelings for her to have feeling. And it's not true, though, Mike. I mean, I can love somebody and they can not know it and it doesn't invalidate it. They can not acknowledge it, but it doesn't make it not real. Somebody else does. And I think that's part of what we're seeing here. They want the acknowledgement of the other person to validate the realness.
If you have an affair with somebody or a relationship with somebody, and at the end of it, years later, they say, you know what? We were just using each other. That was just a lark, wasn't it? It didn't really mean anything. It takes away from it for you.
Well,
he doesn't want her to do that.
That would, and I get that. But him saying, you know, I did love, and he said did. I did love you, not do, which was a point of contention. And you know, he's like, so don't take that away. Well, I mean, you really can't take that. And she has a right to feel how she feels. And if she told him how she felt about it, and I believed her, didn't you?
No.
About the, you didn't believe her?
Well, believe her about what? I'll let you finish.
About we were just using each other.
No, I don't believe that.
Well, why do you think
they
did it?
You just said you think she still's into him. She still likes him.
Yeah, absolutely. But that doesn't mean that she wasn't the best thing that ever happened to him. It doesn't mean that this is some kind of, you know, lovesick fairy tale. I mean, she has like, it's just like you said, she has the grip on the reality of it, of what actually happened between them when they got together. She was grieving and he had felt pressured or put upon or whatever. And so they used one another. And that doesn't mean that they didn't love one another, but she did say that that's what happened. And I mean, I think she's right.
Well, I just think Noah's trying to find a compromise here. Because she said in the past, you and I were a mistake. You were trapped and I needed, past tense. So he comes back after they've had like a reset. They've gotten their clothes back on and they're in this new setting. He says, look, I did love you. He's referring back to that past time. I did love you, even if it was a mistake. It's a consolation. Like, maybe you're right. Maybe it was a mistake, but I still did love you. So don't take it away from me. He's talking in past tense here. It's about their relationship.
Well, yeah, but I mean, he says silly stuff like, even if you don't want to remember me, I still want to remember you. I mean, I don't know. I just think that's a little overboard with it.
I don't know. I could see a guy saying that and really meaning it. He's not trying to sway her. He's just trying to say, look, I'll give in. You know, it's over. And maybe it was a mistake at first, but just don't take it away from me by saying it wasn't real.
Well, I wish he had put it in your words, because your words make it sound a whole lot more believable. You know, the way you just said it. I could get behind that, but the way it was put just felt kind of like he was looking to her for validation of it or something.
He is wanting validation for sure.
Yeah.
And even though it doesn't mean anything into the future, it's like, hey, just let me have this memory that even if it started out as a mistake, don't take away all of what I remember about it by saying it wasn't real, because to me it was real.
Yeah.
Anyway, he says, you're going to wait around till Cole gives you custody back. And Allison says, it's a court procedure. I'm not okay. I left her, and sometimes I'm in darkness. I don't know how I will get past the dark moments. I still make bad decisions, and I'm not sure I can ever be a good mother.
So which really bothers me about her trying to, I don't know, did you feel like this? I felt like she almost tried to blackmail Cole in the kitchen when Cole came up, you know, and Noah was outside. I felt like she was almost blackmailing him, because it's like, okay, you've slept with me. Now I've kind of got something on you that could implode your life, and I want custody of Joni, you know, joint or shared custody. And it felt kind of blackmail-y. And so she wants custody of Joni, but here she's kind of saying, I'm not ready. I don't know if I'm ready. I'm not okay. And she showed us on the last episode, she's not okay.
Well, she has to put on one face to Cole and maybe a different face to Noah. I don't see any problem in the story with that.
I don't see any problem in the story, but I see a problem in a human's character that would do that. You look out for the best interest of the child, period. Period.
But that's not her take. She's not looking out, period, period. She's looking out for her way to get custody, because she needs custody to be somewhat sane, and even if it's not as a perfectly sane person. She's
selfish.
Willing to take that risk on Joni, have Joni take that risk, because that's what she wants.
Selfish.
What Allison wants.
Yeah, I don't like it.
You don't have to like it, Michelle.
Good.
All right, Noah says he starts to tell the story of his mother, but not in as much detail as he does later on in the other half, in his version. But he just says, just be there for Joni and it will be enough. And this gets Allison to move in closer to him. And it's kind of the lock for the key that she's presented to him. The problem, it's like, finally, somebody who can understand me. And she snuggles up to him.
What do you think about that? What do you think about what he said?
Just be there for her and that'll be enough.
Yeah, he goes into the fact that his mother was really ill and she couldn't do many things for him, even cook him a meal and stuff like that. But all you need to do is just be there. You don't need to be a perfect mom. You just need to be there.
I believe he's 100% sincere.
Yeah, I do too.
He couldn't do anything for his mother except help her die quickly. He couldn't do anything for her except be there for her when other people left. And he's just telling that same advice to Joni, like, hey, if you show up for somebody, that means a whole hell of a lot. All you got to do is be there. Doesn't matter what you do, just be there. That's enough.
I think showing up is one of the biggest things you can do. That's why I was asking you. I think showing up is a huge deal. So,
all right.
Anyway.
Part two, Noah.
Yeah.
It's the jail scene. Whenever it occurred in our mysterious struggle over the time here. Allison is talking to Noah, and Brendan, the guard, is watching them, and he zones out. Noah zones out, I guess, while she's telling him to stay away from her. She's essentially there to say, I'm cutting myself off from everything. I don't want you to think you have me to come home to when you get out of here. If you come into my life, I could lose custody of Joni. I'm sorry.
Right.
So, Michelle, isn't it bold when somebody says, I'm sorry, I'm leaving you, I'm so sorry. Like, they have to apologize because they're depriving you of the pleasure of having them around you.
Yeah, that's not anything I think I would have ever thought about before, but that's a real unique, I think, maybe, or maybe not, way to take that.
It's over that's between us, I'm sorry. It's instead of like, it's over between us. Well, fuck you. I never wanted to be with you anyway. It's like, I'm sorry that you don't get the pleasure of my company anymore. It's interesting.
It's very interesting. I would have never thought of it that way, but very interesting.
You never had a guy cut it off with you?
Oh, sure. Are you kidding? Of course. I don't remember anybody saying they were sorry, but is that kind of like the... It's not you, it's me thing.
Yeah, it's not me, it's you. I'm tired of you. All right, so Brendan sees all this interaction after she leaves the prison and says, wow, she's hotter than I thought she'd be in real life. He's torturing
And he keeps
him.
Calling her Lana or whatever, Lana, the character in his book.
Yeah, this is really super mean, super torturous of him. Who do you think she's fucking now? Like, she's told him not to come and not to expect to be with her, and he's stuck in a freaking jail, and then he's being told, wow, that girl is really hot, I wonder who she's fucking now, while you're stuck in here with me.
Oh I know, because I mean, you know, picture how painful a breakup is when you can go out with your friends even and, you know, have a drink and vent and stuff like that, and then here Noah is losing this and he is stuck with Gunther.
He can't even drive past her house and see what she's up to.
Okay.
Anyway, so Gunther says, what are you in here for? What did you do? And Noah says, I hit somebody with a car. And Gunther says, you must be unlucky or you're not telling me the whole truth, but I'm going to find out. Sort of a sneaky undertone of like threat there.
Very disturbing. And the way he said it, he's like, I'll always find out.
He you takes know, it's his like, notes.
What have you done?
Takes his story off right off his little stand there. And we're going to find out that he's Jack Hunter, the swimmer in the story.
Oh, but, you know, Noah, come on. Come on. John Gunter and Jack Hunter. I mean, change the name a little bit, right?
Well, I think they're telling us by this conversation, too, that Gunther is gay. Because he talks about, unless he's just being a total schmucky smartass, how this in the story the swimmer had beads of water beating up on his muscular legs or whatever torso, and Gunther says, I got excited, I got a hard on about the water or whatever. I don't know, I think they make a point of that to emphasize that.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if it was that or if he was just being mean, you know, like, ooh, this rotting gets me going or something.
Could
but
be.
maybe I don't know.
He's excited about Allison's picture. So maybe that refutes my idea that he might be gay. But he says, I'm going to keep this. If anything happens to you, your work is safe, which is another underlying threat.
Yeah, of course.
Anything happening to you. So Noah awakens from all this, which is, I guess, flashback, right? Because he's still in Block Island. Looks outside, looks out the window, and sees Gunther in the shipyard of the Block Island B&B, Michelle.
So did you believe that? All this time, have you believed that Gunther's been there? Because I have, but I'm gullible.
Now that he's seeing him in all these weird places, I thought the car thing was real at first, but right. I didn't think this was real.
Okay, because I, you know, I mean, I couldn't see how it could be real, but at the same time, you know, I thought, I don't know, I kind of bought it.
So Noah does what any right-minded horror movie citizen should do, Michelle, and goes frickin' outside. And let's go over why this is wrong.
Okay.
But it's repeated, like, universally in every horror movie.
Right.
Number one, you lose all advantage of concealment. You let the person that you're trying to figure out why they're there and stalking you, you let them know that you know that they're there.
Right.
You lose any valuable information that you could gain about the situation because it changes when the mystery guy knows that you're watching him. And you put yourself in the easiest position to where you could get yourself killed by opening up the door and walking outside.
Just stupid all the way around.
And then
all
there's
the
always
time.
A girlfriend or a wife who comes out right after you. Hey, honey, what's going on out here?
Rod.
And then
Rod.
The knife slashes her throat. All right. But it's not. He's not really there. So everything averted. They go back inside and they start talking. And this is a pretty good scene, I think, with McNulty here. He gives a pretty good performance.
It was really, really good. And it's hard for me to give a lot of kudos because the Noah character is so infuriating to me. But you're right. This is a great scene.
He says, my dad died a week ago. Allison says, did you say goodbye? Or have a chance to say goodbye? Noah says, no, what do you know about your dad? And she says, nothing. And Noah makes maybe a joke or some smarmy comment. How many people could Athena have been sleeping with that you don't know anything about your dad? And Allison says, I spent my whole life trying to not become my mother. And Noah reassures her, you haven't become her. And Allison kind of dissolves into the little girl thing again, like fires and oceans and babies. These are things I could watch forever. They're sitting in front of the fire.
Yeah, I don't know if that's, are they trying to, I don't know. Tell us something else. Is there going to be something else? Because, I mean, Ocean took her child. You know, Noah wasn't there when she had the baby. I don't know. Is there going to be something with fire now?
I don't know. She loves the ocean. She's born and lived and raised in Montauk. And she swims and all that. She loves the ocean, even
right.
if it drowned her kid. And fires, I mean, they're basic earth stuff, right?
Okay, yeah.
Noah says, I don't know how you made it through Gabriel's death. And Allison says, I didn't really. Whoever I was back then died when Gabriel died. I had someone taking care of me. I was lucky I had Cole.
Right. And I thought that was pretty profound on a couple levels. Because first of all, I do think in a situation like that, that you would not be the same person. And that person would, in a way, die. And she did. And here she's taken up for Cole again. So she took up for Cole in her version. And she also took up for Cole in Noah's version. So we have to believe that she is actually taking up for Cole. Do you think she's in love with Cole?
Yeah, he really was there for her. I think there's honesty. There's a lot of honesty in these versions and interpretations. And because mm-hmm. they don't cross, we don't see two different versions. So it's hard to contrast and compare them. But
right.
She's on. I mean, Cole did love her. Does whatever.
Do you think she loves him?
Probably. She remembers him fondly. She's, you know, she doesn't have to be talking to Noah about all this. She's like, this is her soul coming out. This is her real, truthful, honest feeling coming out, I think. She has
right.
no reason to sway him.
Like, no.
Don't ever think of coming back to me because Cole took care of me. And, you know, cause she's not going to go back to Cole. It's just honesty.
Right.
They make a point, though, of showing how Noah's affected by this. Like, he has nothing to say right away. He takes a couple seconds, pause, he drinks out of his cup. And Allison changes the subject a little bit and says, did your dad leave you anything? And Noah says, his house? And Allison says, not to Nina? That's weird. And we kind of get this story about Nina, what's going on with Nina and Noah.
Right. But now, see, this is another instance. I don't think we ever saw Nina even talking to Allison, right? But we have to assume by the stuff she said that she knows the story. Because otherwise, she's not going to be talking about this stuff with Noah. And that's kind of why I'm assuming that Noah knows her story. They do this a lot in this series. They give us like these things. We never saw Allison and Nina or anything. But she knows so much about Nina and his father that she thinks his father would leave the house to Nina. And she's like, oh, he didn't leave it to Nina? And so they had to have had these conversations before. So I guess because of situations like that, I also assume that there's other, you know, things that we haven't heard that they have discussed.
I think that might be a bit of a jump to a conclusion, though, Michelle, because... I mean, Noah was a famous author and had a lot of money, and I'm sure Allison knows now that he doesn't have a lot of money. But maybe she just thinks, well, you kind of had it made. Why wouldn't your dad leave the house to Nina? Why would he leave it to you? Or maybe she kind of meant, well, why not both of you? She doesn't say both of you, though. She says not to Nina. That's weird. But it's almost like he cut Nina out. I think is the implication.
Right. But that means Noah would have had to have had a conversation with her about Nina.
No. What if you knew I had a sister and I told you my dad died and you said, well, wow, that's weird. What happened? Oh, he left me his house. Wouldn't you say, what about your sister?
Yeah, I probably would. Okay.
That might be what she means.
Okay.
I'm just trying to take the most straightest path because, you know, Occam's razor. What? We don't have any reason to think that she knows anything about Nina doing something.
See, I've just always assumed, and I'm bad about that, though. So.
But Noah has to tell her the story, so this is what he does. If she knew all about it, he wouldn't tell her the story.
Well,
he tells her the story of his mother. And I even put in my notes here, this is first time news to Allison.
Right.
His father left home. Nina left for, his mother got sick. So father, do you remember what she got sick with?
Yeah, she had MS.
Okay. So father couldn't handle it, left, just bailed.
Then he actually didn't leave. He was a truck driver and he just stayed gone all the time. He didn't divorce her and leave or just leave. He was there, but he was never there. And we learned that in season 2.
Michelle, are we really going to argue about leaving and staying gone all the time?
Well, no. I mean, I know it's the same thing, but I'm just saying he didn't leave her. He emotionally checked out, according to Noah.
He left home. He didn't live at home anymore.
No, he did live at home.
No, he didn't. Noah had to go take care of her. That's why he had to stay behind.
Because his father was a truck driver and he was gone all the time. And there was nobody there to take care of his mother.
All right. But if you're a truck driver and you're married, you come home after your route's over every time.
No, Mike, there's people that are long haul truck drivers.
They still come home, Michelle.
Not at night. No, they don't.
They come home in 4 days when they come back from.
Or 3 weeks.
Whatever. But he left home. He left that family.
Okay. I don't think he did. That's not what he said. Well, it's not what he said when he was talking to Noah. They had this conversation in season 2.
So what do you think happened? He came home from his route every 8 days and still came and lived like a husband.
That's what Noah said. That's what he and Noah, that's what was said. He would come home and all he would do is drink himself to sleep and then get up and go back out again. That's what was said.
All right. Well, you might be right. I think the implication is he left. He's not. He like vacated the household.
Well, if they're saying that now, it's definitely almost 100% definitely a different story than what they told before, because that is not what they said.
Okay, the point is the father wasn't there for the mother, who couldn't take care of herself anymore, and Nina literally left home after high school. Not she went to high school in the morning and came home after classes were over. She left. She left the premises.
At 18,
Elvis has left
correct.
The building.
Right.
And that left just her and 18-year-old Noah. I mean, somehow I got this from this conversation that it was just Noah and mom in the house, not dad coming home sometimes and getting wasted. It was just Noah and mother.
That is the way he made this sound, but I'm telling you that that's not the conversation that he and his father had before about
it. I don't know why not to believe this. I don't know why not to believe this. Maybe there is a great reason to not believe this, but I think this is the real
story. No, I completely believe the story that he's telling here, but all I'm telling you is that I don't believe that his father actually was gone.
Yeah,
I believe
he was gone. All right. So he can't go away because then his mother's at home alone and he's got the scholarship to a nice college. So mother finds out about the scholarship and that the son can't leave and starts to cry. And I think this is her point of checking out. Like, okay, I got to do something about this. I've got MS. I'm not going to get better. My son's going to stay here and take care of me forever. And MS is not you die in 2 weeks. You die in maybe 17 years, right? Or you die, it's a long-term illness.
Well, yeah, I mean, of course, depending on the severity and everything else, but she was bad. There's no doubt about that.
So this all happened, all this news converged 1 month before high school graduation. Noah says, okay, I'm not going to take the scholarship. And she's stuck there. So he stays with her and helps her. And She tells Noah he was a wonderful son, and he feeds her the poison. He read her a bunch of stories. He makes it sound like kind of nice that he wasn't just like, oh, I helped her die and then I left too. Good riddance. He was like, I read poems and stories to her. She told him that she thought he was a wonderful son. And then he helped her die. He gave her the whatever he gave her.
Her pills is sleeping pills. All he said. And she was saying that she had decided she was going to die, right? And yes. So this was like her thing. And I just, there's no reason to think anything else, but I just, something about Noah telling it and the way he said it and him crying and everything. I mean, it was such good acting, you know? I mean, that was such a believable scene with him.
Her decision to die was a gift to Noah, to give him freedom so he could go to college and go live his life.
Right.
And not be a caretaker for her. And right. Her not ever getting better situation. So it was pretty brave of his mother to do this. However true it is. I mean, you got to kind of believe some of it's true because unless he's faking these tears, he is really emotional about this. And right. Allison comes to him and he tells her in prison, he asked himself why Allison could never find the answer. Why Allison? Why Allison, Noah? Why are you so connected to Allison and could never find the answer? But then her comments about Gabriel made him, the light came on and he thought that's why, because she cared. She watched somebody they love die and she knows what he knows. She knows what he felt.
And see, that just feels so manipulative to me. Maybe, and maybe that's it. And maybe that's why he feels like they were drawn together or whatever. And I feel like that's very manipulative.
Well,
I feel
you tell
like
somebody you love them, isn't that manipulative?
I mean, I guess if you expect something out of it, it is.
Well, how do you know he expected something out of this? His last comments not too long ago in the same setting were, hey, don't, I know maybe it was a mistake, but don't let, at least let me believe that it was meaningful. He's kind of given her that. And now he's telling her the truth about his mother. It's just expression.
I know, but I realize that some time has passed and everything, but he doesn't seem that interested in Joni, right? And he raised Joni for the first 18 months and he never had any interest. It didn't seem like in Gabriel and the pain that she was going through when she told, what was his name? The guy that they were staying at their summer cottage.
Oscar.
No.
Max.
No. The older guy. They were staying at their cottage on the lake. And it was the woman, the publisher,
yeah,
and her husband.
Yeah, the dope with the dog that had to be shot. Yeah, I don't know his name.
Well, she was telling him about losing a child. And literally, he stops what he's doing, right? And he's like, oh, kid. You know, and he's like, nobody should have to. And he just like does this whole thing that you do with somebody who has been through some kind of tragedy like that. And no one never had that kind of reaction with Allison. And I know everybody's different. You can't gauge one reaction or another reaction. But there are basic human reactions. You know, somebody goes, you know, my parent died, right? I mean, it's like somebody you love, you're like, oh my gosh, what can I do for you? You know, I mean, like, I am so, I mean, it's like this human thing. And no one ever did that over Gabriel. And now suddenly he's like putting these two and two together that because Gabriel's gone, that, and Allison watched him die, that, you know, he watched his mother die. I don't know. It just feels so freaking manipulative to me, but it was a great scene. It was great.
Well, we all have points in our life where the light comes on, like, holy shit, I finally realized that you watched your son die. You know, I'm stuck in this horrible situation. Maybe that was the trigger to it.
I guess, but that's not what he's saying. He's not saying my heart suddenly goes out to you. I've realized all this and I realized this and I'm just like overcome with grief for you. He doesn't say that. He goes, well, now I know why I was attracted to you. it's just all about him. And it just, to me, and look, who knows why I feel like I feel. I definitely have a, you know, I'm hating on Noah for sure. But
yeah, he said just, before, you shouldn't have had to go through that with Gabriel. And maybe he did, you know, he's only who he is, right? He can't have your feelings about it, Michelle. And there's degrees of this. And you're right. He doesn't, until now, he hasn't really said, oh, wow, that's horrible. Tell me about it. What do you want to talk about it? Can, you know, can I help you by listening? Or here's my shoulder. He doesn't bring it up until now when it probably serves him best. But maybe that's all it is. Maybe that is all it is to him. You know, maybe it did take being in prison. You know, why are you attracted to this girl, Allison? And maybe being alone in prison with this ogre of a guard threatening him all the time, maybe that kicked it off for him. And that triggered the answer.
Right. Yeah. I mean,
it might be true. You know, it's not all manipulative.
No. I have no trust for him. So if everything that comes out of his mouth is like suspect to me, and I'm sure that I'm projecting on him because of the character, but I worry that it's like just a manipulation.
Well, to verify that I'm right, they have sex.
Right.
So, I made a point here to make a note, Michelle, thinking about all the different kinds of people in the world, how broad that spectrum is. Like, some people care about you and some people just say, fuck you. They cut you off in traffic. Oh, you cut into my lane. You know, they're just such a broad spectrum of people. And so I compared Allison, who cares about Noah and this heartbreaking story that he tells about his mother, and this freaking guard Gunther, who's like, uh-huh, I got her picture, and uh-huh, I got your story, I'm keeping it through the bars, you can't reach it, I got power over you. That there really are those kinds of two people in the world. The spectrum of people encompasses all those different variances of like hate and love between people.
Do you think those are two different kinds of people, or do you think it's the same people just in different circumstances?
No, that's the people.
Do you think so?
Yeah, I don't think Brendan Fraser or Gunther, and you could ever have a dark campfire meeting with him and he'd go, wow, that's really meaningful to me. I think that guy's just an ass.
But you don't think there's people that he loves that he would fight for?
I don't
like that?
Think okay. He has. I don't think he's an Allison in her degree of like compassion.
No. I was just asking. I don't know. I think that we all have the, you know, kind of the propensity to be more cold maybe than we should be in certain circumstances, and then maybe very warm in different circumstances. But I think I agree with you.
Well, there's people that Gunther likes better than he likes Noah Soloway for sure. But I don't see him as like the sensitive, caring type of dude. With his girlfriend after prison on Saturday night, he takes her out for Sundays. I think he's a fucking monster. So my point is, there's monsters and then there's people that are angels. And Allison is a bit of an angel in that she has this perspective, even though she's got her struggles, she's feeling this pain that Noah has and like doesn't want him to have that pain.
Right. I completely agree with that.
And Noah is a bit of an angel to Allison because now he sees from whatever revelation he's had in prison, some of the pain that she's had, and he can finally understand it. And I'm not going to call it manipulation. I think that part is the truth.
Okay.
And he's,
but they're having sex. Let's touch on this. And she just had sex with Cole. And I don't know that we're not going to have another oops, whose baby is this? And if that comes up this time, she's going to have to let Cole think it's his baby. Because otherwise Cole would know that she's sleeping with Noah. And he wouldn't let her have Joni.
Yeah, she won't need Joni anymore, though. She'll have a new baby.
No, it doesn't work like that, I don't think. But anyway.
I think you're right, though. It is. They do put the proximity of the conception, if there is one, too close together to make it. And there's got to be a reason for that.
Right. I mean, I worry that there is.
It isn't titillation. This isn't Game of Thrones. This is like there's a reason in the plot for that.
Right.
All right. So, he spies on her picking up Joni. So he's not done with this by any means. He should be on his way back to wherever he's going, Princeton or Rutgers or wherever in New Jersey he is with his car. But he spies on Allison and Cole with Joni and then doing the transfer. Then he drives home, Michelle. He's rear-ended by the fake Brendan and wrecks the car. We know it's a fake Brendan because when they pan away from the final scene, there's no damage on the back of the car.
I know. And I really thought he was behind him.
And particularly when he hit him. Either. There's another car in the accident. There's no other car either.
Right. That side car that came out and ran him off the road is not there. That's why I said, I just hope, you know, Juliet's not in the trunk or something.
Do you think they're opening too many doors of too many possibilities? Like, well, if they're both insane, then anything could happen. Woohoo. This is a fun carousel ride.
Yeah, maybe. What do you think?
I think maybe, too. Maybe for the plot, it's too open-ended because of all this wackiness.
Yeah, they're showing them both just being... I mean, they're showing Allison and Noah both out of touch with reality. They're both psychotic. She saw Joni laying there dead, and he saw and continues to see Gunther. And they're not there. I mean, that did not happen. And that they visualize it. They're having, you know, visual hallucinations. And that's not good. I mean, who knows what's actually real when you're dealing with stuff like that? Because Noah doesn't know that Gunther's not real. I mean, I think Allison knew that that vision of Joni wasn't real, but Noah does not know. It's affecting him. It's making him do things like get up in the middle of the night and walk outside. So
do you think that insanity will get better before it gets worse, or do you think it'll spiral down?
Well, on next week's show, I think they're trying to show us that Noah has like a drug problem. And I really hope that they're not trying to act like that's the cause of this, because that's not going to ring very true to me. So I guess we'll just have to see about that. I don't know.
What about just PTSD from the whatever happened in jail? Like, what if what happened in jail, we only know like 1/50th of how bad it was?
Right. And that's horrifying. This whole jail thing is really horrifying. But I don't know. I don't know a lot about PTSD, honestly. I don't know that it would cause like hallucinations and stuff. But I don't know.
Well, Sarah Treem's partner is Haggai Levy, and he's the guy that wrote In Treatment, which is a total psychological show about what people did under stress and how they
really
died. Yeah, so okay. Maybe they're introducing this whole, maybe they're both going to be in therapy. And I mean, the therapy times with Noah were pretty interesting with the woman that was his therapist.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know,
that could be a whole new, they got to figure ways to keep this thing, keep this party going, and that might be a way.
I agree.
All right, Michelle, 306 next week. How do people reach you till then?
On Twitter, I'm at Michelle from TN.
And I'm at Scathing Tweets. And Michelle, didn't you have somebody that was trying to tell you about being a forensic doctor or something that wants to come on the podcast?
No. I just have a couple of people, really, really more than that. I absolutely love it when people tweet me like about the show and stuff like that. And I've kind of been breaking my rules a little bit about talking to people about their takes on it and stuff before we podcast, because it's so interesting to me. It feels like now that I'm almost watching it with a group of friends, because I've got these people that text me, hey, it's about to come on, and hey, it's on, and oh my gosh, have you seen this? And they'll do spoiler, you know, in case I haven't seen it yet and stuff like that. It's really cool. And I love that. And, got, you know, some friends that have interesting like occupations and stuff that, I don't know, it's really interesting. I love it. So if anybody wants to have a conversation while it's on or after it's off or whatever,
I'm very game. No, you totally just dodged my point. You have some guy who's a prison psychologist, right, that wants to come on and talk to us about what Gunther might be doing.
No, I didn't say that. I just said we should ask him. He didn't say he wanted to.
Oh, okay. Well, no. Still, that's still close enough. Why don't you ask him to?
Well, okay, I will.
How long have you been going to the psychiatrist, Michelle?
Not nearly long enough. I know, he's a friend, and
he tweets you. Of course he does, but you see him on the weekdays or what?
Oh my gosh. Not that I probably need it.
All right, Michelle. I know after me pushing you around, you do.
Yeah.
You're a good probably. Sport. All right. So at Michelle from TN, at Scathing Tweets, and we'll see you next week after 306.
Okay. Be
with,
fun.
With or without our psychiatrist.
Yeah. Oh, is it on next week? It's on Christmas?
I think it might skip a week. Yeah, I think you're right.
Okay. Okay. Well,
if you don't hear anything from us, don't think the worst. Just wait a week.
No, we're not in the trunk of the
Nobody's in
Mini
the trunk.
Cooper.
Carson, you see how small that trunk is?
What's the worst?
It is pretty small. Okay. All right. Well, Merry Christmas, Mike.
All right. Merry Christmas. See ya.
Okay. Bye.
Sometimes the way you love somebody, it can change.
I don't want her anywhere near my kids.
Your mom and I were getting a divorce.
Why?
That's very complicated. How have you been, Allison?
I don't think you should be here. I think you should leave.
Tell me how I sleep. Hallam, what's going on? This is insane.
Why are you being so awful?
I just thought maybe I could come up here and bring you your stuff and maybe clear the air.
You have a family.
I know I do. Stop it!
I think we're making a terrible mistake.
Don't say that. Other people's lives are at stake here besides your own!
I want nothing from him. At a certain point, fate takes over a story. And even the author himself loses control.
I didn't kill Scott Lockhart. Well, we gotta find out who did.